How about you? I ask. Seeing anyone? Yeah, she says, then deadpan. For over a year. And why are you still together? Fear of being alone, a decision to settle, an irrational belief that he'll change. Yes, and yes. So, but he can also be incredibly sweet, and I know that deep down, I mean the world to him. Deep down? That sounds like settling to me. You shouldn't have to venture deep down in order to get to love. Let's switch the topic, okay? This isn't a good party topic. I liked it more when you were singing to me. I'm about to make reference to another song we heard on our car ride, hoping that maybe it'll bring her back in some way. When Justin's voice comes from over my shoulder, asking, "So, who's this?" If he was relaxed when I saw him in the kitchen, now he's annoyed. "Don't worry, Justin," Rhiannon says. "He's gay." "Yeah, I can tell from the way he's dressed. What are you doing here?"
"Nathan, this is Justin, my boyfriend. Justin, this is Nathan." I say hi. He doesn't respond.
"You seen Stephanie?" he asks Rhiannon. "Steve's looking for her. Ugh, I think they're at it again."
"Maybe she went to the basement."
"Nah, they're dancing in the basement."
Rhiannon likes this news, I can tell. "Want to go down there and dance?" she asks Justin.
"Hell no. I didn't come here to dance. I came here to drink."
"Charming," Rhiannon says, more, I think, for my benefit than his. "Do you mind if I go dance with Nathan?"
"You sure he's gay?"
"I'll sing you show tunes if you want me to prove it," I volunteer.
Justin slaps me on the back. "No, dude, don't do that, okay? Go dance."
So that's how it comes to pass that Rhiannon is leading me to Steve Mason's basement. As we hit the stairs, we can feel the bass under our feet. It's a different soundtrack here, a tide of pulse and beat. Only a few red lights are on, so all we can see are the outlines of bodies as they meld together. "Hey, Steve," Rhiannon calls out. "I like your cousin." A guy who must be Steve looks at her and nods. Whether he can't hear what she said or whether he's trashed, I can't tell.
"Have you seen Stephanie?" he yells.
"No," Rhiannon yells back. Then we're in with the dancers. The sad truth is that I have about as much experience on a dance floor as Nathan does. I try to lose myself in the music, but that doesn't work. Instead, I need to lose myself in Rhiannon. I have to give myself over entirely to her. I must be her shadow, her complement, the other half of this conversation of bodies. As she moves, I move with her. I touch her back, her waist. She comes in closer. By losing myself to her, I gain her. The conversation is working. We have found our rhythm and we are riding it. I find myself singing along, singing to her, and she loves it. She transforms once again into someone carefree, and I transform into someone whose only care is her.
"You're not bad," she shouts over the music.
"You're amazing," I shout back. I know that Justin is not coming down here. She is safe with Steve Mason's gay cousin, and I am safe knowing that nobody else will interfere with this moment. The songs collide into one long song, as if one singer is taking over when the previous one stops, all of them taking turns to give us this. The sound waves push us into each other, wrap around us like colors. We are paying attention to each other, and we are paying attention to the enormity. The room has no ceiling. The room has no walls. There is only the open field of our excitement, and we run across it in small movements, sometimes without our feet leaving the ground. We go for what feels like hours and also feels like no time at all. We go until the music stops, until someone turns on the lights and says the party is ending, that the neighbors have complained and the police are probably coming. Rhiannon looks as disappointed as I feel.
I have to find Justin, she says. Are you going to be okay?
No, I want to tell her. I won't be okay until you can come with me to wherever it is that I'm going next. I ask her for her email address, and when she raises an eyebrow, I tell her again not to worry that I'm still gay.
That's too bad, she says.
I want her to say more, but then she's giving me her email address, and in response, I'm giving her a fake email address that I'll have to set up as soon as I get home. People are starting to run from the house. Sirens can be heard in the distance, probably waking up as many people as the party has. Rhiannon leaves me to find Justin, promising me that she'll be the one to drive. I don't see them as I run to my car. I know it's late, but I don't know how late it is until I turn on the car and look at the clock. 11:15. There's no way I'll get there in time. 70 miles an hour, 80 miles an hour, 85. I drive as fast as I can, but it's not fast enough. At 11:50, I pull over to the side of the road. If I close my eyes, I should be able to fall asleep before midnight. That is the blessing of what I have to go through. I am able to fall asleep in minutes. Poor Nathan Daldry. He is going to wake up on the side of an interstate, an hour away from his home. I can only imagine how terrified he'll be. I am a monster for doing this to him. But I have my reason.